Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. I'm going to begin our programme today with one of my favourite groups called Pentatonics. And they ask the question, Mary, did you know your son would turn out as he did? It's a song called Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know?
There's a strong possibility that as Jesus grew up, Mary would have told her son about all the mysterious events surrounding his birth. What mother could keep something like that from her child? So that when he went missing after a visit to the temple in Jerusalem as a 12-year-old, surely it would have been obvious where he would be. Where else but back there at the very heart of the temple itself, the seat of learning, in amongst all the scholars and sages? I'm guessing that Jesus would have been full of questions about the coming Messiah, as written down in the scrolls, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Later, as the risen Lord, did he not share such knowledge with his own disciples? In Luke's Gospel 24:27. But in our Gospel reading today, Jesus explains his ultimate destiny to his disciples, using prophetic words here, in the first part of our reading today from Mark 9, beginning to read at verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Here is a song called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
You hide in there.
shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh yes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my eyes. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. You are high and lifted up, and you're shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy.
That lovely prayer there was sung by Paul Bellocci. Now, anyone could easily declare themselves to be the Messiah, even today. But unfortunately, they would have to die and come back to life again after 3 days to prove their authenticity. And that's rather a tricky thing to do. But Jesus did fulfill this prophecy when he was raised, as he himself foretold, 3 days after being killed, proving that he was no imposter. But you know, I've often wondered where this specified time of 3 days come. It seems to have been a magical number. Was this Jesus' own prophecy? Or did he get this idea from the Old Testament? Third day rescues are quite common in the Old Testament. Hosea prophesied about a rescue on the third day. King Hezekiah was restored to health on the third day. Jonah was in the belly of a whale and spat out onto dry ground on the third day. And on the third day, Queen Esther pleaded for her people. There are other examples, but this next one is interesting. Abraham arrived at Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son on the third day. And Isaac, his son, was as good as dead those 3 days, until God provided a ram for the sacrifice in his place. Similarly, a sacrifice was also needed to save the world from sin and death too. And Jesus, known as the Lamb of God, willingly surrendered himself and died for us in our place to save us. Here from Kaleidoscope of Characters is that song about Abraham and Isaac.
Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me. Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing. Lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham load grain. Come to your daddy, my little laddie. Don't think badly of me, I've a job to do. He put him on an altar and he didn't falter. Raised his knife to slay him, then he heard a voice. Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him. Now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son. Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket? Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead. Dance to your daddy, my.
Elsewhere in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus makes another prophecy before his death, saying, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That's Matthew 12. When Jonah was rescued on the third day in the whale's belly, he had prayed a prayer which is echoed in Psalm 16. "But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." And that word can also mean from corruption. And I love these words from another Old Testament character, Job, who also mentions a resurrection. He says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth." Here are such words by Linda Roberry. "I know that my Redeemer lives." A beautiful hymn.
"I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to bless in time of grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to comfort me when fears. He lives to hear my soul's complaint. He troubled heart. He lives our blessings to impart." "He lives, my kind wise head.
So as Jesus shares this moving revelation with his disciples, he finds instead that they're arguing on the road. They obviously hadn't understood a word of what he had shared with them about his coming death and resurrection. And what he was saying obviously didn't fit in with their idea of the kingdom which was to come. Let's read on to see what they were arguing about. On verse 33. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So it seems here the disciples were arguing about which of them would be highest in the pecking order once Jesus' kingdom was brought about. Theirs were dreams of glory, greatness, and positions of power. Ambition filled their minds. Jesus realized it was time to confront this kind of mentality, for it had no place in the kind of kingdom he was building. In Matthew 20, Jesus teaches what it was to be truly great in the kingdom of God. He said, "Among the heathens, the king's a tyrant, and each minor official lords it over those beneath him. But among you, it's quite different. Anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be a servant. And if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. Your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." Jimmy and Carol Owens once wrote a musical called The Witness, very popular in its time. And this next song is a song from that musical. "Lord, Make Me Like You."
Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Just make me like you. Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too.
Kevin Hall, an author, had these wise words to say about leadership. He said, "Let's begin with your gifts. They're not about you. Leadership is not about you. Your purpose is not about you. A life of significance is about serving those who need your gifts, your leadership, your purpose." Someone else called Donald Walters wrote, "Leadership is an opportunity to serve. It's not a trumpet call to self-importance." Mother Teresa once spoke of the humility of leadership, saying, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." Jesus seems to have had that wonderful blend of meekness and majesty. And I'm sure his words were not only for leaders, but for all of us, that we might serve one another as he did. Here's Graeme Kendrick with his song "Meekness and Majesty," recorded at Coventry Cathedral.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, man is God. Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, washes our feet. Oh.
Jesus then brought a child to stand right in front of them, a symbol of the young, the weak, the needy, the outcast and the overlooked. This is where you start, he was more or less saying. Don't set out to serve the mighty and the rich and the important and those who can advance your career and your prospects. Serve my people. Serve my children. Perhaps that's what we're really short of in our world today. There are those out to destroy lives and do great harm and cause division. But thankfully there are many who are truly trying to live lives of service to others, not for show or for gain or to just appear noble and good. These are the ones over whom God the Father sings his song of pleasure. So to finish with, we're going to listen to these sentiments in a song by Matt Redman called The Father's Song. But I'd like to leave you with a very strange Franciscan blessing first. It's quite a long one, and it says this. May God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace among all people. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed with those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or the loss of all that they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able with God's grace to do what others claim cannot be done. Amen. Could I just make one announcement before we finish our programme? And tonight, there's a very important service for the people, well, the congregation of Allen Memorial Church, Wall's End. It's their final meeting tonight. The church is closing its doors after so many years. And we just pray for the people who are meeting there. It promises to be a really emotional service. If you've had connections with that church, please either come and attend or please pray for them as they meet together for the last time. 6 o'clock, Allen Memorial Church, Wall's End. And so to finish, here is Matt Redman with the Father's Song, telling us all about God's pleasure over us when we are kind and tender-hearted to one another. Bye for now.
I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me. The Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me. The Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song.